seeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name to this time of preaching the Word of God. And Lord, it's not about me. It's not about us. Lord, it's about you. And Lord, I do ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you'll give that special touch and that special anointing, Lord, that makes preaching effective. Dear Lord, there's needs represented here tonight. There's lost people in our midst, dear Lord, that needs you. Lord, we have young people here tonight, kids that are lost. Lord, by their own testimony, they're lost. Lord, even in the young people's prayer room tonight, some of them even requested prayer for themselves, that they'd be saved. Pray for me that I'll be saved. And dear Lord, I pray that that burden will fall upon our church. And dear God, that we would call these kids' names out in prayer, that you will prepare their hearts, that you will give them understanding, and that you will draw them, Lord, with cords of love to yourself. And dear Father, I pray that you will, Lord, save them before it's too late. And Father, we pray for the others that would be in our midst that's lost. We ask you to deal with them tonight. And Lord, those that maybe are saved but not where they need to be tonight, I pray you deal with them. Lord, we have revival coming up in a couple of weeks, but I pray that it'll begin even now in our hearts to stir us, Lord. We need it. Father, help me now bring to my attention the things, Lord, that I need to see, the things, Lord, I need to say. And we trust, Lord, that above all, you'll speak to us. Be glorified here this evening, and we'll thank you for it. Drive back the powers of darkness. Lord, I pray, deliver us, God, from all distractions, and help us, Lord, to be focused, God, upon what is being preached, the truth of it, and the one we're preaching about. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we shared with you this morning in chapter number 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." That word "easily" stuck out to my mind and my attention back some time ago. And I got to thinking about just how easy it is to be hindered. Just how easy it is for us to lose ground on a spiritual note. And that's what's being dealt with here. God does not want you to lose ground. God does not, listen, He does not want you to be retreating or going backwards. That's never the will of God. Retreat is never the will of God. Backing up and backing down and backing out and backing away from the will of God, it's not His will, amen? God's people are a forward people. We're a people that has gotten marching orders from heaven to press on. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so that's what is laying before us, as Paul is a challenging the Hebrew believers to run the race that is set before them. Run that race. Run it with patience. That is the word meaning endurance and consistency and steadfastness. I believe that would imply that the race would not be easy. I believe that would imply that the race is going to take determination. And it's going to take grit, and it's going to take a people that's got their mind made up that we're going to run and keep running and run and keep running and run and keep running until we cross the finish line. And I believe that's what is implied here. But I thought about the hindrances, and I thought about how that we're easily beset. And we looked at a lot of those things this morning, the word definitions and so forth. But we talked about dealing with hindrances. The first thing we shared with you this morning about dealing with hindrances, number one, God is calling for a complete removal of the hindrances. Now, there's not a person in here that could not experience intimacy with God if they do that. The only thing, my friend, between you and an intimate fellowship with God is a hindrance. Or hindrances. Maybe more than one. Amen? That's right. So I pray that God will stir our hearts to do exactly what the Bible said, laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now we pointed out this morning, I'm not going to re-preach them or try not to, because I want to get on to where we left off this morning. But we talked about number one when it's talking about dealing with or asking for a complete removal of the hindrance. We noted three things. Number one, the attitude toward hindrances. That is of major importance. How you think about a hindrance. How you view a hindrance. What is your mind about a hindrance in your life? Do you look at it as an enemy? Do you look at it with friendliness? Do you look at it with tolerance? Do you look at it with a allowance in your life? Amen? If you don't look at it as a hindrance, if you're satisfied with it, if you don't mind the hindrance, then you won't mind being hindered. Amen? That's right. And so we preached a good little while this morning about our attitude concerning the hindrances. And then we talk secondly about the action that's involved, or the action toward the hindrance. He said, laying aside every weight. And we really went in and looked at the definitions of the words laying aside. Let us lay aside. That is a very strong word. In fact, we're going to be looking at part of that same meaning down in verse number 2 here. I just found that out this evening. I've seen it this evening, and we're going to be looking at that down in verse number 2. That word appears again, and we'll look at it. And so we talked about the attitude toward hindrances, and we talked about the action. See, that's what a lot of people don't want. We want a revival that doesn't require us to do nothing. We want a revival that does not require us to deal with anything. But we will never have a revival, personal or collective, if we're not willing to deal with hindrances. That's why we don't have revival as I speak. It's because of hindrances. That's because the work of God generally and at large is laying dormant or declining or dying is because of people allowing hindrances in their life. That's right. It's not God's will for churches to be dead. I talked to a preacher last night down in South Carolina. I said, how's your church? He said, well, we're just hanging around about 40 people. Said, we can't seem to grow. He said, just like we're stuck. I said, what about your father-in-law? One of the greatest churches or used to be down in our area when I was down there. I said, what about your father-in-law? How's that church? He said, the numbers are going down. They're declining. I'm talking about one of the greatest preachers alive today, pastors at church. I said, how's it doing? He said, it's going down. That's not the will of God. I promise you, you take me to any church, anywhere, that's declining, that is dying, that's drying up, and I promise you, in the pews, if not also in the pulpit, is a people that is harboring hindrances. Amen. I guarantee it. We want God to pour honey out all over us on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night when we have not, my friend, dealt with hindrances through the week. They're called hindrances for a purpose. They hinder God from helping us. They hinder God from speaking to us. They hinder us from receiving from God. That's why we ought to deal with hindrances. But anyway, we don't want to deal with that. Boy, I'd like to some more. The action, laying aside every weight. Willing to do that? Not too many people's willing to do that. I promise you one thing, your flesh don't want to do it. By the way, the hindrances here talked about is not hindrances of the spirit. It's hindrances of the flesh. The flesh hinders the spirit. The flesh is what's hindering the work of God. It's not that the Holy Spirit's going out of business. It's not that the Holy Spirit's getting weak and feeble. It's not that at all. I tell you what the problem is. The work of God is suffering because people are tolerant and, my friend, they're sympathetic toward their own hindrances in their life. Amen. Why would we want to be sympathetic toward somebody that's killing us? If somebody come in that door tonight with a machine gun and started killing all of us, well, many of us would go up to him, put our arms around him and say, oh, I just love you. You're such a sweetie pie. You say, preacher, that's stupid, telling somebody that's killing us and treating them so friendly and getting close to them. Of course. Well, that's what hindrance is doing. The spiritual hindrances that we should be laying aside is what's killing us. And look how many of us are friendly toward them. Amen. But there needs to be the action toward the hindrance, and that is laying aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And that's not all we're to do. That's a negative. That's a negative. Verse 1, that shows a negative. People hate negative preaching. I've had people to tell me, preacher, preach to me, but I don't want to hear no negative preaching. Well, Lord, how would that? They wouldn't want to hear Jesus. Jesus said, repent or ye all shall likewise perish. That's pretty negative. Amen? Amen? But listen, not only is there a negative in this verse dealing with the call for complete removal of the hindrance, there's a negative, but there's also a positive. He said we're not supposed to just lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, but he comes in with a positive and says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Only as we deal with the former can we do the latter. Only as we do the former can we do the latter. Only as we lay aside can we in return start running. Amen. The only way we can run is to deal with the hindrances. We're in a race. We're in a race. We're runners for God. We have a finish line. We had a starting line. We've got a finishing line. And there's a day of judgment coming for every runner on how we've run. Boy, I dread that day. Lord, help us, Jesus. I don't look forward to that day. Paul didn't look forward to that day. He said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Talking about the judgment seat of Christ. But I want you to note, not only, listen, not only is there the complete removal of the hindrance involved, laying aside. Why should we lay aside? So that we can run with patience. I mean, if you know anything about running, the very thing they have to do is discard all excess baggage. Now you can run with weights, but you can't run your full potential, and you can't run long. Amen. You can't run long. Amen. Trying to find me somebody to use. I'm going to use Cody. But tell Jace to come here. I'll use Jace. Come here, Jace. Lord, I shouldn't use him. He's bigger than I am. Come here, Jace. Hurry. Jump up here. Jump up here. Hurry. Get on my back. Oh, Lord. Help us. Son, you've been feeding that fellow beans and taters, amen. Now, I can run with him on my back. I'm not going to do much of it, Brother Frank. The Lord has granted wisdom to my soul, amen. But now, I could run with him. You but say, preacher, you wouldn't run much. And you wouldn't run far. And you wouldn't run long. You say, what would be the wise thing to do, preacher? Why would anybody do this? I mean, I'm already getting tired. Amen. I mean, I'm just walking. I mean, but why would I want to do this? I mean, this is what many of you are doing. This is what I've done many times in my life. Spiritually, I've had excess baggage on me. I've had baggage put on me, burdens. And by the way, the word weight, do you remember? Better hold on, I might dump you in the floor. The word weight means burden. How many times burdens, unnecessary burdens that we allow to stay in our life? Sometimes self-inflicted burdens. Sometimes weights that we put in our own life with stupid choices. This weight that's on me tonight, I asked for it. Y'all did notice that. That's how crazy we are. That's how stupid we are. We'll give instructions on how to get a weight on us. Here, jump on me. Huh? And we'll put the weights on us, and then we'll just carry them around. And then here's our average testimony. We'll stand up in the average church service, Brother Frank, and this is about the way it is. Preacher, I wish somebody'd pray for me. I'm having an awful time. Well, what's wrong with you? Better hold on. Put your arm around me. Amen. That's what some people tell their burden. Hang on! I get people to feel sorry for them if you'll hang on. I don't have a testimony if you're off. If I actually go to church smiling, I don't have a testimony. Amen. And I'll tell you what's the truth. We'll nurse that thing and we'll think it, my friend, we'll do it and allow it in our life. And when God says, I'll tell you what you can do. Listen, that weight in your life is hindering you from running. That weight in your life is restricting your potential and your advancement. Why don't you get rid of it?
Amen.
And don't that make good sense? Mm-hmm. I promise you, if you had on you what I've got on me right now, you wouldn't be getting rid of it. I guarantee this cat right here weighs 180 pounds. Are you listening? Are you listening? You say, and I know what some of you are thinking, okay, preacher, we've got the illustration. Why don't you get rid of your burden?
Come on, preacher.
Duh. That's what I'm talking about. We watch your life, you look at your own life, and the thought is, okay, why don't you get rid of it? Why don't you get rid of it? This is not fun. I'm not having a wonderful time up here. I'm breaking out my sweat. Amen. I'm not having fun. It's not fun to carry a burden. Paul is showing those Hebrew believers, you're trying to run a race with weights and burdens on you, encumbrances and hindrances on your life. He said you're foolish to do that. Lay aside the weight. Lay aside the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us.
Amen.
You know what I have to do to get some help? How long did that take? That didn't take but a few seconds. I feel like I could jump over the moon right now. Amen. Hey, I'm talking about action. He said there's a negative. Lay aside the weight. Why? So that you can run with patience and endurance. Get rid of what's stopping you. Get rid of what's holding you back and holding you down. Amen. Well, anyway, I've got to hurry. But number two, I want to deal with a second truth tonight. Not only is dealing with hindrance requires a complete removal of the hindrance. And you notice there with that example, to get rid of the hindrance, you know what really all it required? I made up my mind, it's time. I'm getting tired of carrying around this unnatural and unnecessary weight on me. I'm getting tired of it. And I had to come to a place right here where I said, I've carried this long enough, and I made a decision in my mind. You didn't even know it, but in my mind I made a decision. It's time to let go of this weight. And when I come to that place and made up my mind and made the decision, you know what else it took? Just letting go. I just let go, and guess what happened? The weight was removed. You know why the weight's still in your life? You got too strong a grip in it, on it. You got a hold of it, amen? Now, I know that's about foolish, but we're foolish a lot of times with our spirituality. Me carrying him around like that. Some people do that all the time, 7 days a week. And then they wonder why they never can have any victory. They wonder why they never can get in any service when the glory comes and people are testifying and people's getting help and God's a moving, but yet you're sitting there like a knot on the log. You know why you can't get in on it? It's because of those things you've allowed in your life, such as weights and the sin which doth so easily beset us. There's a call here for a complete removal, every weight. That bring revival to RBT, I promise you. If we want revival in 2 weeks without the removal of weights, we're wasting our time. Do you not agree with that? No removal, no revival. Say it with me. No removal, no revival. There you are. Simple. Getting help from God is not complicated. God is ready to move in our life, Brother Eads. God is ready to help us. He's ready to send revival. He wants to save multitudes. He's ready, but He's waiting on us to deal with hindrances. Amen. To God be the glory. But can I deal with a second truth? Well, no, I didn't get through that one. Or did it? The attitude toward the hindrance, the action toward the hindrance, and then there was the access through the hindrance. If it's hindering my progress, then I'm going to have to deal with that hindrance in order to advance. So, on the other side of the hindrance is God's blessings. Amen. So I need to work through the hindrance and get to God's best. Number two, I've got to hurry. I preached too long on that. Number two, not only the complete removal of the hindrance, but I want to talk about a second truth about us dealing with hindrances, and that is the consideration of other runners. I want you to notice with me in this passage that the word us is used 3 times. Let us lay aside every weight, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's other runners in this race. You're not running alone. The Bible says that no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. I'm going to tell you, friend, the truth is this. My friend, no matter who you are and where you live or how you live, you are an influence to other people. We're in a world of almost 7 billion people now. We're in a thickly populated world. And our running the race is influencing other people. Amen. Now I want you to notice something. There are three runners here that I want to share. And I want to deal with the last thing here hurriedly. Here's the three runners. Are you ready? Or three classes of runners. I'll give them to you and then I'll go back and deal with them briefly. There are those who are before us. Verse 1. Then there are those who are beside us. That's you and me. And then there are those who are behind us. The runners that's coming on. Our children. The next generation that's coming on. I'm telling you, friend, you say, preacher, why should I deal with my weights? I tell you, not just because of what it's doing to your life, what it's hindering you from, what it's keeping you from, my friend, what it's keeping you out of, what it's keeping God from doing in you and through you and for you and around you. That's enough, my friend, for you to want to deal with the hindrance. I want to tell you tonight, we need to deal, Brother Brian, with the hindrances because there's other runners. There's other runners. All right, let's deal with the first one, those that are before us. Look in verse 1. The Bible says, wherefore. Everybody see that word? Say amen. Amen. Wherefore. Now we all know that's a word of connection. We know that word right there is reaching back to what has just been said and tying it into what is now being said. Actually, chapter divisions is not a part of the inspiration of Scripture. You do know that. Y'all do know that? chapter divisions and verses, far as the actual numerization of the verses, that's man's doings. To help break down the word where we can find a particular portion or a particular passage. But actually, from what I've studied, verse 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 12 really is the conclusion of chapter 11. Everything that is said in chapter 11 is telling us this is why we've said it. I'm trying to get you into verse 1, 2, and 3. Wherefore? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who's those witnesses? All of them listed in chapter 11. All of them listed in chapter number 11. I'm talking about runners before us. Those that's already went through here before us. Thank God for them. Amen. But verse, notice this, wherefore, connects what has been said to what is about to be said. Listen, actually verse 1, 2, and 3 is a conclusion of emphasis. It is the application that God was driving home through chapter number 11. Amen. Amen. God is wanting it to say something to you and to me. He's appealing for a passionate loyalty to the followers of Christ. That's the whole emphasis. Amen. Throughout the whole chapter 11, he talked about the loyalty of different ones and how they went and served God and was faithful to God. He did that. And then he comes into chapter 12 and he's letting us know that God expects the same out of us. God expected Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and all of them to be faithful. God expected David to be faithful and loyal. God expects us to be faithful and loyal. Amen. If we expect to have revival apart from faithfulness, we're dreaming. We're hallucinating. It will not happen. Amen. That's right. I want to be faithful to the house of God. I want to be faithful to the things of God. Why? Because I want, when God gets ready to move, there'll be no hindrance in my life for that. Amen. Now notice the word us. I'm still talking about those that are before us. The word us here in verse number 1, here's what it really means. Us also. It also means we, as well as these all. Us also. We as well as they. We can look back into the previous chapter and note spiritual characters that lived right. And we can as well as they. I promise you there's nothing going on in your life that was any more opposing and any more difficult than what Abel faced, what Enoch faced, what Noah faced, what Abraham faced, my friend, what all those patriarchs faced. Amen. And it didn't stop them. It wasn't a hindrance to them running the race. And God says when you have a hindrance in your life, you need to deal with it. You need to deal with it. And I'll tell you why and how. They dealt with it by faith. It was faith that allowed and motivated Noah to build an ark. It was faith that allowed and motivated Enoch to walk with God. Amen. It was. It was faith that motivated and allowed and inspired Abraham to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and go out looking for a city who hath foundation and whose builder and maker is God. It is our faith that's going to motivate us, brother, to deal with hindrances and live loyal to Jesus. Now this cloud of witnesses in verse number 1 comes from an old word, an old Latin word. It's only used here in the New Testament and it refers to a vast mass of clouds. Not a single cloud, but a vast mass of clouds. And the metaphor here is referring to the great amphitheater with the arena for the runners. That had tiers upon tiers of seats rising up, my friend, like a cloud. And the people would fill the stands to watch the runners. And I want you to note this. I run across this studying on this. Those in the stands were not just spectators. This great cloud of witnesses was not just spectators watching, but it was testifiers. It was witnesses. The Bible said they were what? Witnesses. A witness is someone who knows something. A witness is someone that was involved, that seen it, that heard it, that experienced it. Many of that stand of witnesses that are around us are people that's already been here, that's already running this race, and they're telling us you can do it. Don't let hindrances stop you. Oh man, so look what Noah would have missed out on if he'd let hindrances stop him. Look what Abel would have missed out on, and Enoch and Abraham, and look what my friend these would have missed, Moses and Daniel and Samson and all these. Look what they would have missed out on. Amen. But there are those who before us. And I'm going to tell you, friend, this present generation owes a lot to the past generation. Those that's run before us, those that's been here, my friend, they've run this race and they've, my friend, crossed the finish line. We owe them something because I'm going to tell you, friend, what we have tonight didn't fall out of the sky. What we have tonight in by way of a Bible, the King James Bible, what we have tonight by way of church, that we can have liberty to worship, that came through blood. That came through people that was willing, my friend, to go the distance. That was willing, my friend, to face whatever so that they could pass on the baton to the next generation. We owe them something. I'm telling you, friend, we need to deal with hindrances because of the runners before us. We owe them something. Wouldn't it be a shame after all they went through for us to drop it and lose it? And I'm going to tell you, friend, we've lost a ton of ground. This generation today, each generation has lost major amounts of ground that was given to us spiritually. In fact, I'm going to make a statement. I've said it before, and it's not original to me. We're one generation. We're one generation away from the old time way being extinct. Are you listening? I'm telling you, friend, I am nothing. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. Brother Rob, but I'm going to tell you, friend, RBT just do not know. Now, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the whole thing, the whole RBT ministry. We don't know what we've got. Go out, my friend. Go to some of these other churches. Now, I'm not talking about just around here. I'm talking about anywhere. Pick any state. Brother Eads, you travel a lot. Any state or any country, my friend. There are a dime a dozen dead churches everywhere. Preachers, my friend, that are sold out to liberalism and compromise and rolled over for a paycheck and a benefit and they won't preach no more because they're afraid of their job. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I feel like shouting, amen, because God is doing great things here. We can't see it. If we're not careful, we'll get used to it. We're here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and we see it, and it's right in front of us. I remember, friend, when I first come up here, Sister Paula Sue, I mean, I would sit there on the pew and long for the day that I'd have a choir. We didn't have a 13 when I first come. And I'm going to tell you what, we did good to just have a little bit of a congregational and maybe every once in a while somebody would have a little a special number or something. And I'm telling you, it was bad. But it was all we had. And little by little, God began to honor His Word. Weeks come and weeks went, months come and months went, and years have come and years have gone. Now we're in our 17th year, and I want to tell you, glory to God. What God has done, we ought to praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. But if we're not careful, we'll sit there and hear the RBT choir, and we'll sit there and we'll be numb. If you get used to something, you're subject to lose it, and you may not know what you've lost till it's gone. Oh, Lord, help us. My soul, how God has helped us. I go out and preach in some of these meetings. I'm going to tell you what the truth. I can't hardly wait to get back home because it's dry in most of them places. They don't want nothing. It's dead, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and most preachers are the leader. And they want me to come in, my friend, with some little abracadabra magic wand waving, preaching or something that raises the dead. And I walk into those churches that don't want nothing, and they dump all that pressure of that whole meeting on me. Thank God, come back to RBT. I feel like I went to an oasis in the desert. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank God for what He's doing. And I tell you, friend, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've not built this church. I'm going to tell you, not one individual has built the church. I'll tell you what's done it. You want to know what's done it? Over time, Brother Mark, there's been an individual here, an individual there, a man there, a woman there, a young person here, a family there that's dealt with hindrances. And as people deals with hindrances, we advance. As people deals with hindrances, we progress. I want to keep going on. Mace Jackson's gone. Dr. Seiler's gone. B.R. Lakin's gone. I mean, we could name a ton. We could name several of those old war horses of the faith, brother, that went through this part of the country and preached the devil out of a lot of people. But they're gone. Dr. Oliver B. Green. Dr. John R. Rice. Just to name a few. That brother went through this part of the country. Not just this part of the country, but other states. And just preached. And God moved. But they're gone. And outside of them preaching on tape or on radio or a CD or something, their ministry's gone. But it's our time to shine. Hey, man. Brother Eads, we're not gone yet. We're still breathing. We've still got the ball. We're on the court. It's our time to play. We're on the field. I'm telling you, friend, we need to deal with hindrances because of those that's run before us. They're testifying to us. Don't quit. We went through a lot worse than you did. Verse number, what is it? Verse 4. Amen. It says, consider him who hath not, who endured such contradictions against sinners against himself, lest you be weary and fast in your mind. Then he said, you've not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. Those, Brother Carroll, that went before us, my friend, they knew the threat of bloodshed. Brother Brian, you've been reading Fox's Book of Martyrs. People give their life for Jesus. Praise God, I'm telling you, by the help and grace of God, I am not quitting. By the grace of God, I'm not compromising. I'm not going to be an ecumenicalist. I'm not going to roll over. I'm not looking, my friend, to fit in and to be the popular man in town. I'm looking to stay true to my heritage. Thank God. Well, Lord, I didn't mean to spend so much time right there, but listen, dealing with hindrances is number two. You need to consider the runners. Have a consideration of the other runners. Those that are before us. And then those beside us. Like I said earlier, three times, let us run. Let us lay aside the weights. Let us run. Let us. Hey folks, if you're saved, you're a part of this us crowd. Hey, amen. Hallelujah. Hey folks, I'm going to heaven. You better get used to me. If you're saved and going to heaven, Brother John, you better get used to me because I'm going. This church body right here, this church family right here ought to be the tightest knit family around here. Amen.
I mean, we ought to love one another. Listen, are we all where we need to be? No. Is there things in my life that aggravates you? Probably. Are there things in your life that gets on my nerves? Definitely. Do you notice probably versus definitely? Amen. But you know what? I love you. I've seen some of you grow, and I've talked to one today, and I knew of something in their life, and they said, "Preacher, I'm dealing with this." I jumped up and I said, "Glory, hallelujah, amen." People's growing. People's growing. Hallelujah. People's growing. Someone told me the other day, I believe it was last week or something, I don't know, I hear so much. They said, "Preacher, we've been here, I believe, 2 years or something or whatever, so many months or something." They said, "Preacher, we've grown more here than we have in our whole life." I don't take credit for that. I say, to God be the glory. I believe this would be a good time for our verse right here. Psalms 115, verse number 1. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake." We need to lay aside the hindrances, brother, because of a consideration of other runners. Those before us and those beside of me. I don't want to have hindrances in my life because it's going to affect you. I've seen it. I wish I could say that every time I've gotten in the pulpit, I was 100%. I wish I could have said that. Just like you probably wish you could say every time you've sat in a pew and heard me preach, you was 100%. Are you listening? But I have noticed this. Every time that I've not been 100%, not been what God wanted me to be, I'm telling you, I saw it affect you. You didn't even know it, but I saw it. And I went away many times and said, "God, if I'd have been what I was supposed to have been, my friend, it would, the results of the service would have been different." Amen. Whether we like it or not, we influence each other. How you live affects me. How you live affects me. Y'all say, "Preacher, you're a giant." Who told you that? I'm not no big giant. Ain't no big S on my chest. I'm not Superman, superhuman, super spiritual. It's a wonder God even lets me stand to preach, I'll just be honest with you. That's the truth. I don't see how God can help anybody through me. That's the way I feel about it. Amen. I don't need people to criticize me. I do a pretty good job of it myself. Amen. That's right. But you just let me criticize me, all right? Amen. I can do it and maybe get away with it. I don't know. But you get to do it and get in trouble. But and I want to be what God wants me to be so that I can be an influence in your life and your children. That brings me to my third thought real quickly. We need to consider the runners, not only those before us and those beside of us, but also those behind us. Come here, Miss Abigail. Which one's that? That's not Abigail. This is Abigail right here. Come here. You and Abigail? Abby. That's all I know her as is Abby. Come here. I've called her 4 times and she won't come. Come here, Samuel. Come here, Sarah. Tell Daniel, come here. I mean Samuel. Lord, at the kids. Caden. Johnny. Come here. Amen. Benjamin. Let's see who else we can get here. Yeah, Brother Craddock. Amen. That's about right. Amen. Amen. Brother Scott, send one of yours up here. Just pick one. Never mind, he's on his way. Come on, Cooper. Come on. Y'all fall in line in here. Just fall in line. I want y'all to fall in line. I want y'all to make a line. And I want you to follow me. Okay? I want you to follow me. Come on. And you just follow right behind him, right behind him, right? And y'all just follow them. Stay in line.
Why in the world should I deal with hindrances? Why? Amen. Look what's following me. You see that, Brother Tyler? Where I go, they're going. And I guarantee you, not just them that's behind me right here, but all these kids in here looks up to this preacher. And you better believe I know that. And I take that very seriously, friend. And I don't want to make wrong moves. I don't want to make wrong moves because I tell you why. I've got kids following my life. I've got people, I've got kids looking up at me. And I didn't just have to get little ones. I could have come around through here and got you adults. You're looking up to me or you wouldn't be here. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what's the truth, friend. It puts a pressure on us, friend. Y'all come on. Come on. Amen. Paul said, be you followers of me as I am also of Jesus Christ. They're following me. They're innocent. They're innocent. What if I make a wrong move? What if I get sideways with God and all of a sudden I decide I'm just going to get over here in the flesh for a while? It's going to affect them. And then I'm going to have to start telling them, y'all going to have to back up. Let the preacher get right with God. Are you listening? I'm talking about not only the runners before us and the runners beside us, but I'm talking about these precious souls that's behind us. Brother Bill, Lord only knows the potential that's right here. Lord, there might be some preachers in these boys and some missionary wives in these girls, Sister Betty. Oh, God, help us to know what's at stake. You better believe we need to deal with hindrances. About every one of these young people in this church, very few services ever leave. They ever leave what they don't hug as preacher. Amen. Are you listening? Joey. Amen. Joey. Tell him I'll talk to him later. I'm preaching. Amen. And I'm telling you what's the truth. Right here's the church of tomorrow. Right here's the church of tomorrow, friend. No telling what's going to happen. And I'm just going to tell you, friend, I'm not the only one up in front of them leading. Mamas and daddies of all these kids and all these still here, my friend, you are in front too. I wonder how many kids in this building tonight, and I don't want no answers, but I wonder how many kids in this building view your mom and daddy as a hero. I wonder how many views your mom and daddy as a hero. Amen. Come on in, sis. Amen. Amen. What's up, sis?
I had a wreck on the way here. Cal totaled my car.
Oh, man.
And I just want to thank God for that
Cal. Amen.
Amen. I'll take my Bible to what Lord Christ all the way back in my Bible.
What about that?
I just want to thank Him with all my
heart. Amen, sis. Amen.
Praise God for
yes. Glory to God.
He's a hallelujah. Good God.
Yes, He is.
Even if I'm laying in the hospital, He's a good God.
Yes. Yes.
I'm telling you, He's good.
Yes.
I just want to thank Him better than my life day. I was right with Him.
Glory to God, says.
My life day, I was ready to go.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, man. Amen. RBT, you don't know what's going to happen in any given service. Thank God for watching over Sister Tara. Amen. Hallelujah. Poor preacher loves these kids, I'm telling you. Amen. And they love me too. And if y'all ever hear anybody talking about the preacher, you come tell me about it. All right. Go back to your seats. Amen. I got a force, praise God. You better watch it. Those ears are at your house. The consideration of the runners. Man, and the best one is now coming. And I'm out of gas and out of time and wore out. But verse number 2 talks about the concentration. If I'm going to deal with hindrances, not only am I going to deal with a complete removal, deal with a concentration on the runners, of other runners, I mean, consideration of other runners, but also concentration on the Redeemer. Looking unto Jesus. Notice that word looking with the ing on it. That simply means that while these other things is to be going on, this is to be going on. While you're laying aside. While you lay aside and while you are running the race with before us with patience, while you're doing that, do this. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. And I'm just going to comment a few things here and we'll be done. But I want to mention this. Just one simple quick statement. Beware of distractions. Looking, beware of distractions that get your eyes and your focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's dangerous. Distractions are destructive. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now listen. Let me just deal with this quickly. I'm just trying to skip through here. This word looking means to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on another. Did you get that? Looking unto Jesus requires me, number one, to be looking away from other things so that I can fix my eyes on Him. Now this word here does not mean to glance at, but rather to gaze at. Actually, the word looking here means to stare at. You know, when you stare at something, my friend, you have blocked out everything around you. No distractions. You're consumed, your focus is consumed with one thing. That is a stare. Let me give you this right here. This word looking comes from two words. It's made up of two words. And this first one you heard this morning, and that's the word apo, apo. You remember that? And that is the word that means separation. It means, let me just look at it right here. Find it right here. It means a separation from one thing from another. See, I'm to be looking unto Jesus, meaning I am to be looking away from something else. There is to be a separation from what I'm not looking at to what I am looking at. Looking away from to looking unto. There is to be a separation. That word apo means there is to be a separation of one thing from another by which the union or fellowship of the two is destroyed. It talks about putting distance between the two. You know why a lot of people can't look unto Jesus? Is they can't look away from. You never learn to look unto until you learn to look away from. And I'm going to tell you, friend, a lot of things in our life is attractive. A lot of things in our life is distractive. And it'll have our attention, it'll have our focus, and it's not Jesus, it's the Lord. And we all know this illustration with Peter walking on the water. When he got his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. But when he got his eyes on the Lord, he walked triumphantly over the storm and the waves. Here's what the Lord gave me about using that word apo. It's used for lay aside, and it's also used for looking. And I said, Lord, there's something there. I was thinking about this evening. I said, Lord, there's something there. The reason that word is used in both of those, lay aside and looking. And here's what the Lord said. The Lord spoke to my heart about this, and in that it's the same word. He said, and they're connected. There's a connection between our laying aside and our looking. Amen? The laying aside precedes the looking. And here's what really got my attention. If what is to be laid aside has not been laid aside, then that is what we are looking at. We can't look unto Jesus until we lay aside. That's why the Lord allowed those two words to be, that one word to be used in both of those places right there, lay aside and looking. What you are not willing to lay aside is what is going to keep you from looking to Jesus. And where you're looking is where you're heading. Amen. Tell me what you're focusing on and I'll tell you where you're heading. Amen. Amen. But I thought that was good. I thought that was good. And there's three things there in verse 2. You can write them down. I'm not going to preach them, but you can write them down. That we're told to look at. We're told to look at His person. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We're told to look at His passion, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. And then we're told to look at His position, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Rob, if we'll get to looking at that, hallelujah. If we'll lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us and begin to look, looking, it's got an ing on it, looking unto Jesus. That is, look and keep on looking. By the way, the word looking there is in the present tense. It's in the present tense, it's in the active voice, which means the subject's the doer of the action. I can't make you look. God won't make you look. If you're looking to Jesus, it'll be a choice that you make. You and I both are in the shape we're in tonight, good or bad, because of choices we make. Looking is a choice. Laying aside is a choice. Running is a choice. But that word looking is in the present tense. It's not a matter of what you used to do and how you used to live and your past devotion. What are you doing now? Looking right now. Right at this moment, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, I like that, don't you? Amen. Let's all stand on our feet.